Welcome back to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom, and today we will be studying the third chapter of Sefer Shmuel Bet in our 34th lecture on the Book of Samuel. And as we left off at the end of Perek Bet, we saw that David's men had acquitted themselves quite successfully, although suffered the loss of Asael, Yoav's brother, in the fight against the members of Shevet Binyamin. This war went on for a while. David holech v'chazek uveit Shaul holchim edalim. Notice it's David who continues to get stronger. Holech v'chazek is Hebrew idiom for continues to get stronger. Uveit Shaul holchim edalim, and Shaul's household continues to get more impoverished, less successful. In the meantime, we find out that David now has children, the first time we hear of this, children in Hebron. So Ahinoam, who we're not going to hear about again, gives birth to Amnon, his eldest. Chilav is somebody we will not hear about again. Abigail, Eshet Navala Karmeli. Again, a famous wife. Really no accord associated with the son. Vashlishi Avshalom ben Ma'acha, he will be very significant. Bat Talmai Melech Geshur. And now we find that David is marrying into other royalty. He married the daughter of the king of Geshur. Geshur is an area in the north. Possibly there's two Geshurs, but it seems from later on in the story that this is the one that is near the Golan. Varvi'i Adoniah ben Chagit. He will also play a critical role, but not in our Sefer. V'chamishi Shfatia ben Avital. V'ashishi Yitra'am le'egla Eshet David. And now we finally have someone who is called Eshet David, and that is Egla. Eli Yodu David b'Chevron. Just a short note, but one that I've promised since quite a while ago, is that there's a mention here of David having two wives, and then later we found out he has more, but we never hear about them as wives. We just hear about them here as mothers. And six sons. In the short biography of Shaul that's given at the end of Perek Yodalad and Shmuel Aleph, Shaul is credited with having three sons, even though, of course, we know he has at least one fourth son, which is Eshbaal, or Ishbosheth, who is the king whose dominion is dwindling as we speak. But nonetheless, Shaul is mentioned as having three sons, and three is a number that we associate consistently with the book of Shoftim. Throughout Shoftim, we find the number 3, 30, 300, 3,000, most especially in the story of Shimshon, where it's all over the place, 30 attendants at his wedding, 300 foxes, 30 suits, 3,000 men of Yehudah, 3,000 men on the roof, people on the roof, three lies to Delilah, and it's just all over the place. But even with other Shoftim, we find out about a Shofet who had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and the 30 daughters married 30 other men, etc. And it seems to be a number that we somehow associate with Shoftim. The fact that the text continues to stress the number 3 in association with Shaul, such as the three-pronged attack that Shaul had against the Plipo of Ammon, the three divisions of his 3,000 men in the war against Plishtim, etc., indicates that Shaul is really a continuation of the Shoftim period. And remember, a Shofet is one kind of a leader. He's a military leader, and that's, he's not a political leader, he's not a cultural leader, not a religious leader, but he's a military leader. David, everything with David is doubled. David has not one wife, but two wives. David has not three children, but six children. And even though he has other wives, and even though he will have other children, these are the numbers that were first presented with, as if to say that David has two aspects of monarchy, that Shaul only had one. And the first indication of that we got at the very beginning of the previous parak, when after finding out that Shaul and Yonatan died, the first thing that concerned David was, where should I relocate? Which Shaul never did. And after he relocates there, there is a proper coronation of the people of Yehudah coming to crown him. And very soon he's going to relocate again to a central location, which from where he will be able to rule over all of the tribes. We, of course, know where that is, but we will leave that until Perek Hay, when we will move there. In the meantime, Avner's position was rising in Beit Shaul. Shaul Pilagesh. In the meantime, Shaul had a concubine, Ushma Ritzpa Vat Ayah. That's her name. We're going to read about her later on. She's quite a heroic woman. Vayomer al Avner Madu Avatel Pilagesh Avi. And Eshbaal accuses Avner of having relations with this particular Ritzpa Vat Ayah. Now, having relations with the wife of the king, and this is a very powerful image and statement that we will see in, later on towards the second half of Shmuel Bet with Avshalom, is a statement and an attempt to usurp the power of the king. If a man would sleep with the concubine of the king after the king is dead, that may mean that he's claiming his own position as heir to the throne, or he's challenging the one who's sitting on the throne. In any case, that's what the accusation here is. It's not just one of sexual impropriety, but really one about power. And what is Avner's reaction? Vayichal Avner meod al divrei Ishboshet. He became enraged. Vayomer harosh kelav anochi asher liyuda. What am I, a head of a dog of Yehuda? What do you think? I'm some sort of lapdog. Hayom esachesed im beit Shaul avicha halacha velmereu. I'm acting out of kindness for Shaul, your father, to his family, to his friends. Vayitzicha biyad David. I didn't hand you over to David. In other words, I've done all this kindness for you, but if God alive, Avon Heishayom, and now you're mentioning the sin with this woman, which makes it sound as if he's admitting he did it, but he's claiming Eshbaal should not make mention of it. Again, that familiar oath formula. Ki kasher nishba Adonai David ki chene aselo. What Hashem promised David, that's what I'm going to do for him. Which means now, it sounds as if in Beit Shaul they know what God has promised David and they just seem to be fighting it, which seems to be futile and is futile, but sort of strange. And now Avner says officially he's changing sides. L'haver mamacham Beit Shaul akim en kisei David al Yisrael. I am going to take the throne away from Beit Shaul, which I've been helping you now. Move it to David, Ve'al Yehuda, Midan Ve'ad Beersheba. And now Yehuda will rule from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. And Ishboshet was afraid of Avner and was unable to answer him. And this is a theme that we're going to see repeated in the south at the end of our parak, in very tragic circumstances, but again where the king is unable to respond to his own chief of staff, because he's afraid of him. So Avner sent messengers to David saying, who's really the ruler of the land? Notion being, you are the ruler of the land. Make a breed with me, and then I will help you bring all of Israel. Now, what's the breed that he wants? Perhaps he wants a breed that he's just going to be protected and won't be slaughtered. Perhaps the breed that he's asking for is some position in David's cabinet. Vayomer tov, so David said, good, ani achrot itcha brit, I will make a brit with you, ach davar achar en nukhoi sho el meitach lemor, lo tereh panai, ki im lefnei v'yachad, micha v'atcho v'vachal lirot et panai. So one thing, before you see me, you have to make sure that Michal is returned to me. Remember, Michal, who was David's wife, when David had left, was given over to this guy, Palti ben Laish, from Roglim. David insists that she be returned to him. Roglim, by the way, is just outside to the east of Yerushalayim, and it's a place that we'll see mentioned when David leaves Yerushalayim when he is exiled. And that means, of course, Palti ben Laish is a member of Shevet Binyamin. David Malachim at Ishboshet ben Shaul Emor, and now he sent out a message directly to Ishboshet. This is a confrontation. Tna et ishti et Michal asherastili me'ar lo plishtim. Send me my wife Michal that I betrothed with 100 foreskins of the plishtim. Remember, that was the deal, 100 foreskins of the plishtim, even though David in reality brought 200. Still, 100 was the price. Shlach Ishboshet v'yikachem im ish v'im palti el ben Laish. So Ishbaal clearly felt that he was outmanned and insisted that Palti give up his wife. The nature of the relationship between Michal and Palti, she's a married woman to David, she's now leaving Palti to go back to David, something the Gemara deals with. V'yelech ita isha halochu v'cho achareha. It's kind of a pathetic scene. Palti, who was described here as her husband, walked with her And as he was walking, he was weeping, Ad Bachurim, until Bachurim, which is very close to Yerushalayim, very love Avner, Lech Shuv, Vayashov. And Avner told him, go back home, and he turned around and went back home. This guy doesn't seem to have much of a spine. Udvar Avner Hayayim, Zignei Yisrael Lemur. And now Avner spoke to the elders, said, Gam Tmol Gam Shoshom, Yitim Makshim, Etavid, Nelach Aleichem. So Avner evidently was speaking to the elders in Yerushalayim, and saying, you've always wanted, or in, near Yerushalayim, and saying, you wanted David to rule over you? Etmol Shosham, meaning since ever. In other words, Avner is saying, till now I was fighting against you. I was supporting the family of Shaul. This is who you wanted. And now that's what you should do. Ki Adonai Amar al David Lemor Biyad David Avdi Oshiyat Amit Yisrael. Miad Plishtim. Miad Kol Oyvehem. So now do it, because this is what God has said, that David is going to be the one to save you from the Plishtim and from all of their enemies. Vaydaber gam Avner ba'oznei Binyamin, and now Avner started to talk to the leaders of Binyamin. Vayelach gam Avner ledaber ba'oznei David b'chevron, et kol ha'shatov b'aynei Yisrael v'aynei kol beit Binyamin. And now he went to David, as he had promised, to hand over the other tribes. So the people of Binyamin, who would be the thorniest tribe, they're the tribe of Shaul, were now being convinced, evidently, to accept David as their ruler. Vayavo Avner el David Chevron, v'ito asrim anashim. So Avner came with a proper entourage of 20 men, v'yaz David l'Avner el anashim esher ito mishteh. And David made a feast for them. Vayir Avner el David akuma ve'elcha ve'akbetza et ha'eladunim elach et kol Yisrael. So I'm going to go, now that we've made this brit, I'm going to gather all of Yisrael together, v'yichitu itcha v'rit, and they will make a brit with you. V'alachta v'chol asher te'aven afshecha, and you'll rule over everything you want. Vayishlach David Avner vayelach b'shalom. And everything seems to be great here. Avner is going to go. He's going to bring the whole country together under David. V'hineh avdei David. We never find out what Avner wanted as part of his side of the brit. Perhaps it was just safety. V'hineh avdei David v'yoav bam mihagdud. And so now David's servants and Yoav were coming back from their raids. In other words, these men were still raiders. They were still going out to as a raiding party. That's the gdud. Shalal Ravi Mamiviu. They had lots of spoils with them. Avner inenu im David bechevron kirshuchov ayelach b'shalom. And Avner was no longer there because David had sent him in peace. B'shalom, that's the key word. Avner is now going in peace, security. He's everything's okay. V'yoav v'chol tzava asherito ba'u v'yagidu liyoav lemor. So the army came and told him that Avner bener el hamelach v'yishalchev ayelach b'shalom. Avner bener came to David and David sent him away peacefully. David didn't kill him. Avner showed up here, and he left in peace. So Avner, Yoav came to the king, and he said, what did you do? Why did you let him go? Why is he walking away? You know that he's coming to trick you. He's just coming to find out your movements, your army movements. And know everything you're doing. In other words, he's spying. Why did you let him go? So David did not know about this, but Yoav went out and sent messengers to go get Avner back. And Avner, of course, assumes now that if David's chief of staff wants to see him, that that must be part of the brit, part of the inclusion and the welcome. Vayashav Avner Chevron, so Avner came back to Chevron, Vayatehu Yoav Altoch HaShar, and Yoav brought him over into the gate, and it was a secluded area, the very Tov HaSheli. Speak to him there privately. Vayakehu Sham HaChomesh, and he stabbed him there, right in the chest. The same exact word is used when Avner killed his brother Asael, and now he kills Avner. Vayamur B'dam Asael HaAchiv, and he died with the blood of Asael, his brother, meaning it was a vengeance killing. And David heard this and immediately publicly stated, I am clean, I am innocent of the shedding of the blood, I had nothing to do with this, because of course everybody's first assumption would be Yoav was carrying out David's orders. He uttered a terrible curse against Yoav, his own family. And he says all of these terrible curses should happen to Yoav and to his family, that he should always have a Zav and somebody who was scabra, who was a scale disease, and holding on to Pelech, and somebody who the people will die by the sword. Machzik Bapelach, meaning somebody who is always holding on to a cane, and there's people who are disabled and are old. That's what he's going to have. And Ofel Bacherev, Chasalachim, people who die in war, people who are hungry. He's cursing Yoav. In the meantime, the text summarizes, Yoav and Avishai were evidently both involved in this. They killed Avner because he had killed their brother Asael. So David told all his men that they should tear their garments and that they should put on sackcloth and mourn in front of Avner, weep. And I, the Melech, am going to walk in back of the bier. They buried Avner in Chevron. David wept and all the people wept. And now this is we don't know how long after the death of Shaul and Yonatan, but within the context of the text, we had David weeping for Shaul and Yonatan. Now David is weeping for Avner, and he has a mini dirge for him also. And he says, Vayikonein ha-melech el Avner, vayimrachamon aval yamut Avner. Read this two ways. His dirge was, shall Avner die like a lowlife, like a naval? Or perhaps he means, shall Avner die like Naval, who is a real enemy of God? Yadecha lo asurot, your hands were not chained. Veraglecha lo nchushtay mugashta, your legs were not in chains. Kinfoli fnevnei avlana falta, you died like in front of a criminal. Yasifu chol amiv kotala, but everybody kept weeping. And David's statement was, here you're a great warrior and you died in a cowardly fashion. Not cowardly on yourself, but the person who killed you acted cowardly. Vayvochol amav wrote to David lechem. Everybody came to bring David food. Ba'od hayom, during the day, Vayshava David lemor, koyaselu himachoy yasif, kim lefnevo Hashem eshetam lechem ukomu umma. David took an oath that he would not eat anything until nightfall. Now notice how different he is than Shaul. When Shaul takes an oath about eating, it's nobody else should eat. And of course they violate it. They don't know about it. And then Yonatan with the honey. Here, David takes an oath that he won't eat. And indeed he doesn't eat. But his reason for doing that is to make a very clear statement. And everybody recognized what happened here. And they were happy about it. They felt good about it. And everybody knew that it was not the king's idea to kill Avner. He's mourning, he's weeping, he refuses to eat. He declares a curse on the one who killed Avner. Statement is made. This is, of course, well, no matter what David may have felt about Avner, and David probably saw in Avner an ally to help bring the people together, in spite of that, even if that weren't the case, nonetheless, David would have to make the statement because it would have to be clear that David is, first of all, trustworthy. David is somebody you can make a breed with. David is somebody whose word is good. And also that David is somebody who really is looking out to unify and not to put tribe against tribe. So then David turned to his servants and said, you should know a great man died today. In other words, even in the privacy of his own chambers, he's still speaking honestly with mournful tones. I am young and I've just been anointed. These Bnei Tzruya, this Yoav and Avishai, are tougher than I am. These are my cousins. So God will pay back the one who did this evil in the same way as he did his evil. In other words, he is saying the same thing that he said before to Shaul. I'm not going to hurt you. God will take care of you. And he repeats that here and says that God will pay back Yoav and perhaps Avishai for the terrible thing that they've done. But that's not something that I am either willing or from the beginning of the Pasuk even able to do because I am still young and newly anointed and these Bnei Tzruya are tougher than I am. In this way, David is echoing in a very clever way, the words that Shaul said to him when Shaul tried to dissuade him from going to war against the Philistine giant. You are a lad, and this man is a fighter since he was a lad. In the same way, I am young, these men are tougher than I am, and I'm putting in an official protest against this, but I really cannot stop them. Everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up with Perek Dalad and see the end of Beit Shaul, at least as any significant component of a ruling family be Israel.